turn tonight to 1 Timothy. We survived Titus, so now we're going to survive Timothy. Maybe. We're not going through the entire book of Timothy. But in Timothy chapter 4, we find something that I think is very, very appropriate for our day and age. Our day and age is very, very sensitive to the fact that we need to exercise and we need to eat right. We find in 1 Timothy chapter 4 something very near and dear, especially to the presidential administration, and that is physical health. Physical health. How are you physically? It's in chapter 7, chapter 4, verse 7, Titus is told, reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise. How do you like that word? Does that strike you as a very wonderful word? Exercise. I looked up, because you can look up anything, I looked up and saw that in presidential fitness, they used to have presidential fitness test. Here, presidential fitness test, this is what, if you're 17 years old, the numbers get smaller, well, it's not quite accurate. You should be better at stuff at 17 than you are at 10. And a 17-year-old male can do 44 sit-ups, 9.4 second shuttle run, that's where you run, it's 30 foot, and you run from the start over to the one side and then back, and that's one trip, and you do it a second time. And you should be able to do it in 9.4 seconds. This is the average, the 50th percentile. I run a mile in 9 minutes, 4 seconds. Any guys here can do that? Yeah? I don't know. Or 7 minutes, 4 seconds. Not sure I can do a 7-minute, 4-second mile, but I can watch people do it. What's that?
You're not 17.
I'm not 17. But I'm not yet 40. And 8 pull-ups. I think I've seen someone do one once. The girls, what they should do is 34 sit-ups, 11-second shuttle run, a 10-minute, 22-second mile. Can you girls do that, do you think?
I think it was 7 minutes.
A 7-minute mile, shaming all the boys, and one pull-up. A whopping one pull-up. So that is what they should be doing. What should you be doing? Well, I was trying to think through if this is how it's supposed to go. A 17-year-old is supposed to do a lot better than a 10-year-old. I'm not yet 40. How good should I be able to do? Like a 3-minute mile or something? I could watch them do that on TV. You know what? We are told by the television, we are told by the magazines, we are told by the government, we're told by our doctor, you need to be physically fit. That doesn't necessarily mean you can do this, but you need to be healthy. Why do you need to be healthy? Well, they'll tell you that if you're not healthy, it comes with a price tag. You become overweight, you can get high blood pressure, you can get high cholesterol, you can get gallstones, you can get heart disease, diabetes, sleep apnea, certain kinds of cancer. You can get liver disease, osteoarthritis you can get. And along with that, just for fun, sometimes some psychological things, depression, etc., that's tied in with it. Now, back up a second. If you've got any of those things, doesn't necessarily mean that it's your fault. Blame the parents. That's what I do. You can have those things if you're not healthy. So, doesn't it make sense that we would want to be healthy? It makes sense, doesn't it? But do you know what that means? It means choking down salad and exercising. But If we do those things that we're supposed to do, have healthy habits, we not only can avoid many of those things, but it also increases your energy. It boosts your mood. It helps you, your body fight against diseases. It helps you sleep better, as well as other benefits. So, let's do it this way. If you come to my house, you can have ice cream, or if you go over to somebody else's house, you can have rocks. Which would you prefer? Well, the ice cream, right? And the rocks are bad for your teeth. Ask any dentist. So it doesn't take a lot of sense to decide, instead of rocks, that they can really go for some healthy ice cream. That's not really healthy. But it's got dairy in it, so it must be a vegetable. So, because of that, you make a decision based on, you know, this sounds more fun, or this certainly is less dangerous or harmful to me. Sometimes we think about ourselves and the fact that what healthy means is the fact that I only had two pieces of pie instead of three pieces of pie. Well, glad that you only had two instead of three pieces of pie, but if your doctor was standing right there, do you have any clue what they would say? Let me eat that. That's what they would say. They would say, you know what? I know what your records show. I don't think you should be having any pie. That's why you don't invite your doctor over for dinner, isn't it? But you know the benefits, don't you? Honestly, we know in our minds, our heads, there is great benefit to doing things that are healthy as opposed to those things that are unhealthy. Well, think about this, though. What about your spiritual life? And here, Paul writes to Timothy and says, exercise yourself rather to godliness, for bodily exercise profits. It does. A puny. That's the way Strong's interprets this word. Puny. An itty-bitty tiny bit. Paul tells Timothy, he says, have an itty-bitty tiny bit of wine for your stomach, a little bit of wine to help with your stomach. Here, he says to that exercise profits a little itty-bitty bit. Now, if we're honest and just went through all the health benefits of healthy eating and exercise, you know what we would discover? Why, there's a great, great benefit to it, isn't it? You'll live longer, you'll feel better, you'll feel better about yourself. Honestly, I look at it and say, wow, these things are fantastic. I look and see that diabetes, I'll die from a heart attack. Well, if I'm going to die from a heart attack, I'm going to go happy and eat all... No, I'm not going to do that. If I want to see my grandchildren, which is a long ways off, because I'm not yet 40, you understand. Because of that, I am going to make some choices to help me get that ancient. Does that make sense? So I'm going down and I'm doing some running and I do chuck my down my salad and all that stuff. Why? Because I do want to see myself be healthy enough to live a little while longer. It takes some effort. But I want the benefits. Well, if I think that there's great, huge benefit to physical health, think about spiritual health in 1 Timothy 4:7, 4:8. Bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things. We're having a promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. Not only do you get the spiritually health benefits for the here and now, but also for that which is to come. If I exercise and try to become more spiritually healthy, I'm going to grow, of course, in my knowledge and understanding, but that's all head knowledge. That's good. But you have to have that. But it goes out of the human body, out of the soul, as far as wisdom, stronger faith in God, peace that passes all understanding, excellent character and good reputation, self-control, joy, freedom from guilt, perseverance and patience, many more, including eternal rewards. So if I look at the physical health that I should have, and I say that is extremely healthy. When you see on TV, if you buy this pill, that it will make you super healthy. Because it's got this in it and that in it, and none of it's chocolate. Oh, but while you're looking at that and thinking that could be fantastic, solve all my problems, what about your soul? It takes that word, gymnasium. Gymnasium is a word there, exercise. If I were to become spiritually healthy, if I want to grow in godliness to God, I must get off the couch. I have to get off the couch. If I want to look like this, if you're wondering what I look like in real life, if I don't want to look this good, I have to get off the couch. If I don't get off the couch, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. Well, not much, I should say. I want to remind you the fact that God has saved you, and when He saved you, He did change you. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says that you are a new creation. He has given you His Holy Spirit, and you are given the desire, the taste, the goal, the wish for godliness. But do you know what happens? We get lazy. That's why we don't get off the couch. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, it sounds like Paul, and probably someone associated with him. It's hard to tell in the English, to be honest, but when you look at the Greek, you can see a tremendous difference between Paul's writings and the book of Hebrews. It's Pauline in character. Anyway, Paul, in Hebrews chapter 5, the author in verses 12 to 14, he kind of gets after them. He says, by now, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be at the pulpit. You ought to be at the Sunday school, leading the Sunday school or the Bible study. That's where you should be. You've been saved long enough to do that. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. You're a baby. That's what he calls you. You see a kid on the playground that's a little older and he's crying, and you know what his friends call him? It's not friends call him. A baby. To cry like a baby. That's what they say. Why? Because babies cry over little things like that. You're a man, you don't cry over nothing. Why? Because you're not a baby anymore. And you look at what babies eat. Do you know what babies eat? They eat milk and Cheerios. That's the only two options there are. And then something blended, which shouldn't be sold, but they do. That's what babies eat. And I got news for you. You get old enough, guess what you get to eat? You get to eat something blended that shouldn't be sold. But you know, God is gracious, and maybe rapture will happen before then. Why? Because it's soft, it's easy to chew, it's easy to swallow. And then as they get big and become 12 years old, they want steak. Why? Because they're no baby anymore. Their tastes have developed differently. and their abilities to chew is different. And so because of that, they want steak. No, I don't blame them one bit. Get a good steak and put some A1 sauce on there. Boy, honey, what's for supper? I hope it's steak. Here, they were just eating baby food. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, not a little baby, but a young in Christ. But solid food brings those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses, here's that word actually, exercise, gymnasium. Exercise to discern both good and evil. How do you know? How do you wisely choose between what's right and what's wrong? The only choice is to exercise. Spiritual exercise for godliness. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 11 says, Hebrews 12:5, no discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been gymnasiumed by it, exercised by it. Spiritual exercise takes hard work. I want you to understand that. We have to get off the spiritual couch. If I want to be healthy, I have to get off the couch instead of zapping with the leftover Big Mac that I had. I have to make salad. I have to make something healthy to eat. And I have to remember that I can't have an entire tub of ice cream. Only a little bit. Why? Because I need to make decisions that are healthy. Along with that, it takes hard work to exercise. Do you know what happens when you exercise? You sweat. You get tired. Your legs or arms, they strain and they hurt. And then to do it right, you have to motivate yourself and do it all well-rounded. So you're doing your arms and your chest and your back and then your stomach and then you do your legs and your feet and you're trying to get your whole body so you can look just like I did. When I exercise. That being so, we need to recognize when we exercise, it's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take perseverance, self-motivation, consistency, well-rounded exercise, rest. You have to have proper rest, wisdom, accountability, and it will affect your whole life. Just as it is true with physical exercise, so it's true with spiritual exercise. You need to have the discipline to exercise spiritually. So how do we do that? Well, we need to learn from the experts. Learn from the experts. If I'm going to go in and just start running, I will pay for it in the long run. Usually, if you hype yourself up and you start running, you'll do really well. You run real hard, and you go quite a distance. You'll push yourself, and then you'll find out that the next day you can't walk. Nor the next day or the day after that. Why? You didn't train properly. However, if you got a personal trainer, or you read up on through magazines or books some reasonable things, and you learned how to do it, had somebody come alongside to teach you, to guide you, guess what happens? You make good decisions. You make good decisions, and then as a result of making those good decisions, you feel better. Your training becomes much more effective. So that's what you want to do. Well, spiritually speaking, as good as a pastor is, or a brother and sister in Christ is, as good as they are, while in physical training, nobody's perfect, and there's different ideas. When it comes to spiritual training, you've got the best manual right here in your hands, the Bible. Not only that, but you got somebody who's come alongside, and going to carry you through the Holy Spirit. And then if you want to get theological about it, not only the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Not only that, the God the Father is with you as well, as one who has been with you from the beginning. He brought you to Christ, and He leads you to be conformed to His image. That's what Jesus does. And because Jesus does that, because the Holy Spirit does that, because God the Father is involved in that, guess what? You don't have to worry if what you're doing is wrong for godliness. There's great benefit in having somebody humanly come alongside. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, we learn that the divine power has given us all things. God has given you what you need in order for you to be godly, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. God has given you everything you need. When you go out tomorrow, because you've been motivated now to get off the couch, you get up tomorrow, you're going to go down and you're going to buy a pair of tennis shoes, or you're going to go buy some weights, and what are you going to do with them? You're going to go and exercise, right? You have to go get them because you don't have that right now. Oh, by the way, make sure you get a nice looking suit and a workout outfit. You gotta look good while you're doing this thing too. So you buy what you need. And then you start exercising. Guess what you find out? You don't have everything you need. You should have a heart rate monitor. Maybe you should have one of them. Maybe one of those fancy watches that have GPS on it, so when you do your walking, and a heart rate monitor, and all of that. Oh, like $500? Come on, what's $500? You find out that you need one of them. Why? Because you're going to do this thing right. And as you do this thing right, that's going to cost you big time. You know what God did? He gave you everything you already need. You have His Holy Spirit. You got God's Word. There's nothing more that you need. Learn from the expert. How do you learn from the expert? Look at His book. He tells you. Spend time in prayer and listen to the Holy Spirit. Let Him guide you. You need to make sure that you're learning from the experts. John 14:25 says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I've said to you." Why? Well, they can write it down for one, and then they can live it for the other. I want you to consider this. Why do you think it's so vital for you to be in the Scriptures every day and to spend reasonable time in prayer? Why? Because that's how we exercise ourselves to godliness. So then, thus far, we have looked at this scene that we need to get off the couch spiritually. We have to get off the couch spiritually. And in doing so, we need to learn from the experts to see the right things to do so we can honor God. And then finally, we need to make a plan. We're going to take over the next few weeks on Sunday nights. We're going to take the next few weeks on Sunday nights so that way we are learning how to train ourselves for godliness. So as of tonight, you are in training. You're in training. Don't say no. Yes. This is not an option. God's Word says you're in training. You're in training. You're not in training because I say so. You're in training because God says so. If you're in training because God says so, you know what you're going to do? Be in training. So, as you're in training, What you're going to do is make a plan first off. A simple plan. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to be in my Bible and pray. Go to the gym, you're there for 30 minutes at least. 30 minutes to an hour, maybe. If you really got a lot of gumption, maybe 8 hours. But that really wears you out, so I suggest 9. So what do you need to do? You need to go to the gym for 30 minutes? Why not spend 30 minutes with God? Do you think 30 minutes every day would help you spiritually grow? I'm not going to tell you it's a secret. You have to find out yourself. But you figure it out. How's that? It's the simplest thing, simplest exercise. You get up in the morning and you do it. Or maybe at lunchtime in your break you do it. Or maybe when you get home from work. Or maybe right before you go to bed. Even right now, you're going to decide, when are you going to do your Bible and prayer? Write it down, because that's what you're doing. You're in training now. Now that you've decided that, something happens when you build those muscles in your soul. You want to exercise those muscles by putting them to action. Show off a little, not pridefully show off, but put to action those muscles. How do you do it? Well, service. It's good for us to each day take God's Word, gain something from it, and then decide, how am I going to put this to practice? I read about love. Well, there's somebody at work that's very unlovely, so what am I going to do? I'm going to love them. What am I going to do to show them love? Maybe it might be not snipping at them when they talk to me. Maybe it's saying good morning. It just has to be something you survive. You don't have to necessarily take them out to supper to begin with. That'll come later. Do something to exercise what you're learning in the Scriptures. A service project, if you will. There's something else that you need, is accountability. Accountability. Self-accountability can happen and does work to an extent, but ultimately self-accountability tends to fail. We need to be accountable to somebody, to get with somebody, and maybe your spouse, or maybe a friend from church, or maybe a Christian friend from outside the church. Just every so often say, how are you doing your devotions? Are you keeping devotions on? How are you doing in applying your devotions, serving the Lord? In other words, you're in training for godliness. How is that training doing? Let me tell you a secret. After the first week of training, I'm talking physical training, after every muscle in your body hurts and you're tired, guess what you decide? That was fun, but you know what? That takes a lot of effort. I think I'm done. We find excuses to not train. We can do it. It's real easy. I can testify to that. I'm tired today. I've got a busy day today to go out and go running. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too far to drive the 3 minutes it takes to get there. If I go now, I'll be late for something else. Or you know what? The junk that I ate yesterday, I sure don't feel like exercising today. And the first day of doing that easily, much easily, becomes the second and the third. And that's why by February, all those people that joined the exercise clubs January 1st are done. And so if you paid a whole year in advance, you lost out on 11 months' work. Why? You didn't stick to it. Accountability helps with that. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul tells Timothy, Pastor Timothy, you need to exercise to godliness. So, you can imagine Timothy going out to the spiritual gym. He goes out to the spiritual gym, it's his desk. And sitting at his desk, he sits there and opens up God's Word. And he prays, begging God to help him understand God's Word and to apply it to his life. And he reads the Scripture. He doesn't read the words to say that he read the words. He reads the words to understand what he said, what God says. As I read the Scriptures sometimes, right now I'm doing it on the Bible program because you can highlight on there as well. So I'm doing it on the Bible program that I have. And sometimes I'll read a paragraph and realize I have no clue what it said. And the reason I have no clue what it said is because Satan doesn't like me to exercise and come up with excuses. And he says, oh, by the way, did you remember you got to do this today? So I get the end of the paragraph. So I have no clue what I just read. Now I have to read that thing again. And once in a while, there's a third time. But I do that because I don't want to say I read the passage I need to read for us today. I want to be able to grasp hold of what's going on and the truths that are there so I can live it out in my life. Why? Because I'm in training. I don't know if you knew that, but I am. And you know what? There's going to come a time of a race. Satan's going to come up and say, hey, I got a great idea. And if I haven't been in training, guess what I'm going to say? Hey, that sounds like a great idea. But if I've been in training, I might say, you know what, that sounds real good, but I know something better. It doesn't sound quite as fun, but you know what? I've learned that if I eat a big 3-foot Subway sandwich, that guess what? It's not healthy. So even though it sounds real good, I know a better way that ultimately maybe isn't quite as much fun at the time, but is better for me. We need to exercise ourselves towards godliness. The bodily benefits, that the physical exercise is tremendous, but it's puny when it is compared with what spiritual godliness, spiritual exercise does. And it's profitable for everything. Having not only the benefit of the here and now, but of eternity. So if you already exercise or make sure you watch what you eat, I want you every time that you go exercise, I want you every time that you reach, try to choke down that salad, praise the Lord for salad dressing. Every time you do that, think to yourself, am I training for godliness? What I do for my body is very worth it and very good, but you know what? It doesn't compare. Maybe I need to be reading the Scriptures as I eat that salad. Maybe I need to be listening to God's Word, or to Christian music, or to something that would promote godliness in my life. It's profitable for things not only now, but for the spiritual rewards, for the heavenly rewards that we will have. Knowing this, you're in training, so start tonight or tomorrow morning with the simple fact that you're going to read your Bible and spend some quality time with God. Father, I thank you that you have given us bodies that respond to physical exercise. You have created us to physically work. You've created us to have bodies that need tending to. We know that if we just sit on the couch and pay attention to nothing more than what's on TV, what's on the news, or what we can gain from whatever entertains us, Father, I ask that you would help us, that we would be diligent, not so much about our physical body, though very important, but dear God, for the soul, the spirit that you've given to us. Help us that we will listen to the Holy Spirit's call to get up off the spiritual couch, to actually go and do what we need to as far as spending time with you and then serving others. Father, I ask that you would help us that we will listen to his guidance as we read your word, as we spend time in prayer, and as we serve others, that we may grow, knowing that it's hard work, but knowing that it honors you. Father, I pray that you'd help us as we train for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.